You have heard it said, practice makes perfect. And I have a feeling that these girls have been practicing. Do you think so? Yes, I think they have been practicing. And we do appreciate all the time that they have put into practicing so that they can minister for the glory of God these lovely songs. And something I appreciate about their singing is that they come to the platform without a book, or maybe not even a paper. See? So that means that they have been memorizing these songs. We trust that these songs that have been such a blessing to our own hearts as we have heard them sing will also be of tremendous value to them in the days ahead. That's one of my favorites that they just sang. And we thank God for that beautiful selection. Now for our scripture reading tonight, shall we turn, please, to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. After the meeting this morning, I was telling quite a few of the folk farewell as we greeted them in the foyer. Of course, most of you know that I'll be returning to Jamaica, God willing, on Wednesday evening. So when you come to the meeting on Wednesday evening, I'll be thinking about you all and trust you have a blessed time of happy fellowship on that occasion, and would ask that you think of me too, because the flight is scheduled to depart at 8 o'clock. So I'm sorry that friend, wife, will not be attending the meeting on Wednesday evening, because she did promise to take me to the airport. See? But after the meeting this morning, you know, one of the brethren came to me and he said, "Don't worry at all about your wife. She'll be all right." I said, "Suppose she has some problems while I'm away. Tell her that I'm just a phone call away." So I think that she has dear Christian friends here who stand by during my absence. And it's nice to know that there are some who give a helping hand in times of need. We do appreciate knowing that believers, those of like precious faith in the fellowship here, bear us up in the arms of faith in prayer for God's help and blessing. I'm not quite sure. A lot of folk have been asking me, "Well, when are you coming back? Will you be home for Thanksgiving? When do you hope to come back?" Well, actually, I haven't got a return ticket. See? It's a one-way ticket. But I believe that when I'm down there, the Lord is going to provide me with a ticket to come back one of these days. Don't you think so? I'll get back before too long. I'm not sure of the day nor the hour up to this point. But I'm trusting the Lord that one of these days, when I leave Jamaica, it will be possible to remain here in this land on a more permanent basis. So you pray with us to that end. Now, have you found the scripture? Judges chapter 7. We'll begin at verse 1, reading verses 1 to 7. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Haroth, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "Every one that lacketh of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. We trust that God will add his blessing to this portion of his word for Christ's sake. Amen. This is a most fascinating portion of God's word. And I suppose it is one that is very well known. I'd like to talk to you for a little while this evening about these 32,000 men who were in Gideon's army. Because that was the original company. Verse 3 tells us, they returned of the people, the end of verse 3, they returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So I figure that Gideon had approximately 32,000 soldiers ready to go with him to the battle. I want to talk to you for a little while about his army. 32,000 men. Now, all of these men pitched beside the well of Herod. Find that in verse 1. They pitched beside the well of Herod. And it is very significant that they came to this particular location, because I understand that the meaning of that word Herod is trembling. They pitched beside the well of trembling. Now the vast host of the Midianites were on the north side of them. And it's estimated that they Midianites had an army of approximately 180,000 soldiers, in sharp contrast to Gideon's 32,000. Now, the enemy, the Midianites, were by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The hill of Moreh, and that word means terror-inspiring hill, where archers ambush. So it would appear that the Midianites had a strategic military advantage over the Israelites. They were numerically superior, and they were in this terror-inspiring hill that provided a lot of ambush for the archers. They ambushed there. Now, Gideon, that means one who cuts down. God spoke to him, and God gave Gideon this simple, this profound decree in verse 3. Whosoever, God says to Gideon, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. This was one of the statutes in Israel, you know. Just for a moment, would you like to turn with me, please, back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20. There is a very significant statement here in verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 20. We have here that the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house. And then the reason is given why the fearful and the faint-hearted should not remain in the camp. The reason is given here, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. You know, in the city of Kingston, down there on the island of Jamaica, I remember being in the downtown shopping section of the city around the noonday hour on one of my visits to the city. We live 35 miles from Kingston up in the hills. And on this particular day, I saw quite a crowd gathered. So I drew near and I wondered, what is the attraction? What's happening here?
And I saw everybody looking up at the sky. So I started to look up too. I wonder what's up there. And I discovered, from making an inquiry, I discovered that one man, who isn't all here, as we would say, he started looking up and he said, "What's that?" And then somebody joined him, and before you knew what was happening, there's a crowd gathered around, and think of it, I was in the number. Just joined that group, and here we are looking up. Well, it's not a bad idea to look up. I trust that the people of God are really looking up. But you see, the point is, we influence others. And all of our emotions are easily transmitted from one person to another. If I love you, the natural reaction is for you to love me. If I smile with you, unconsciously you smile back at me. See? If I laugh with you, even if you don't see the joke, you may start laughing too. If I start to cry, there are people who are so soft-hearted and so tender, the tears will start streaming down, though they don't know what has affected me. And if you sit beside somebody who is nervous, jittery, apprehensive, fearful, that fear is easily transmitted from one person to another. You'll get nervous too. You'll get fearful too. And the Lord knows this. He knows that our emotions are so easily transmitted from one person to another that he says, when soldiers join the army and you find in your ranks a person who is afraid and fearful, let him leave the camp. Let him return home. He won't make a good soldier. A good soldier has to be courageous and bold. You know, the Lord was sending out his servant Ezekiel to deliver his word to his people. And the Lord made it clear to Ezekiel that these people I'm sending to you, they are a rebellious people. They are stubborn. They are stiff-necked. They are hard-hearted. They are a disobedient children. He used several adjectives in describing them, indicating to Ezekiel that I'm not giving you an easy task. You're going into a difficult situation. But you know what the Lord said to Ezekiel? Make your face hard against their faces. Your forehead hard against their foreheads. And don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Oh, may God help us not to be fearful. In Gideon's army, 22,000 of his soldiers were disqualified by fear. 22,000 disqualified by fear. They were affected by their environment. Where were they? By the will of Herod. What does it mean? Trembling. They were no doubt drinking of the water of Herod. And as they drank of that water, they were affected. They were fearful and afraid. They were not usable by God in his service. Now, cold mathematicians would figure out, well, there are 32,000 men in the army, 22,000 had gone home, disqualified by fear. We only have 10,000 left. The enemy has 180,000 over there. They are well fortified. They have all the armor and all the equipment that they need. 180,000 pitched against 10,000, the situation is hopeless. And a cold mathematician, a guy who can reason and he can profound logic, he comes to the conclusion that the situation is hopeless. But you know, dear brothers and sisters, with God, no situation is ever hopeless. No situation is ever hopeless. Don't be like these 22,000 and become disqualified from any service for God because you're afraid. Fear still affects us, doesn't it? I suppose right here in this meeting, some of us are afraid. We're afraid of the future. Some of us are afraid of old age, afraid of unemployment. We are afraid of inflation. We're afraid of all these dread diseases that seem to afflict the human race. We're afraid of what's going to happen in our own family circle. And all kinds of fears seem to grip us. But may God grant that we'll take courage knowing that the Lord has said, I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll stand by you. I will see you through. You know, I recall, if you'll pardon the personal incident, I recall down there on the island of Jamaica, in our home, way up in the mountains of Guy's Hill, we were retired for the night, and sometime during the wee hours of the morning, darkest part, possibly 2 or 3 a.m., our baby girl, one of our daughters, was just an infant. She slept in the crib in our bedroom. And of course, you know where that crib was located. The baby's bed was on daddy's side of the bed. Because during the hours of daylight, if she needs any attention, mommy is there. But at night, if there's any night duty required, that was my obligation. So, at about 2 a.m., I heard a little voice coming from this crib. Daddy, said, yes, honey. Then the voice said, it's dark. See, we don't have street lights out there in the rural areas like you have in Fort Lauderdale. So it does get dark down there. And on the subject of street lights, at the Highgate Chapel where I now have an apartment, the street light has been out for over 3 years, and I've been begging and pulling all the strings that I know, but I can't get a bulb put in that lamp. 3 years. That's Jamaica. But this little voice says, it's dark. I say, I know it's dark, but you just close your eyes and you'll go off to sleep. You know what she said to me? She says, but Daddy, I'm scared when it's dark. So I gave her a little pep talk. I said, you don't have to be scared, honey, because the Lord is with us and he watches over us night or day. So you just close your eyes and put your head on your pillow and you go right back to sleep, because you have a couple hours to sleep before daylight. You don't be scared. You'll be all right. Mommy is here, Daddy is here, and the Lord is with us. Well, that satisfied her for a moment or two. Then she said, Daddy.
Yes, honey.
Will you hold my hand? So, I stretched over sleepily and wearily. I put my hand under the mosquito net. We use mosquito nets down there, you know. Did you know that? We use mosquito nets there. I hear that they haven't got a single mosquito in Jamaica. They're all married and have big families. See? So, under the mosquito net goes my hand. She holds my hand, and she said one more thing. I'm not scared anymore. You know why she wasn't scared? She's holding Daddy's hand. You ever felt scared? Fearful? Thank God you can hold your Father's hand. Underneath are his everlasting arms. We're living in perilous times. We're living in exciting and challenging times. But we're living in times, our Lord explains to us, times when men's hearts will be failing them for fear, looking after the things that are coming upon the earth. And some dreadful things are ahead for the inhabitants of planet Earth. But I do thank God that my Father is in full control and all will be well. So I would say to you, as the Lord says to us, fear not. I was riding on the highway one day and I heard one of these fiery preachers on the radio. You know, I usually have radio tuned into some Christian station, and this preacher was going to town, as we would say. And you know what he said? He said, I discovered that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. He says, hallelujah, I get one for every day of the year. So I don't have to be scared any time. I thought, well, if you check it carefully, you may even find 366, because some years we have a leap year, huh? And we need an extra one then. But the Lord says to you, don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I think of young Timothy as a man who was possibly drinking of the well of Herod, a timid soul. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Be thou not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, and Paul says to Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind. He says to Timothy, be strong, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. He wrote to Timothy and he says, drink no longer water. Take a little wine, that which is symbolic of the joys of heaven. I want you to be glad in the Lord. I'd like you to rejoice. And you know what our Lord says? Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear is the product of unbelief. And in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, the Lord says, see that you be not troubled. People all over the world are troubled. They're in distress. They're in anguish. They're in perplexity. They know not what is coming upon the earth. But see that you be not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, may the Lord keep us in perfect peace. I have a sister. Oh my! One of my sisters are here with me tonight. Glad to see her and her husband. But you know, I have a big family. You'll excuse me talking about my family sometimes. They're all very near and dear to me. One of my sisters said to me the other day, he says, I'm afraid of you going down there to Jamaica now. You're sure the Lord wants you to go? I say, yes, give me perfect peace. Give me perfect peace. You know what's happening in that country? All will be well. The Lord says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. And you know, if the Lord sends you somewhere and he commissions you and gives you a task to do, I believe he will see you through. He will undertake for you. He will grant his preserving care each step of the way. Now, Gideon had 22,000 men leaving camp. And if you check with these men as they pack their bags and marching out of camp, you say, why are you leaving? What's the problem? They'd say, I'm scared. They'd point over to the camp of the enemy. You see those Midianites over there? We are going to be fought up for their guns. I'm not going to throw my life away. The enemy, they are powerful. They are ruthless. And I'd hate to know that we just stay here and allow them to destroy us. And so, because of fear gripping their hearts, they were disqualified from military service. They were given permission to leave camp. All right. 10,000 are left. And there must have been a lot of questions passing through Gideon's mind. Only have 10,000 men left. Now, what can I do with such a small company in contrast to the vast host of the Midianites? Only 10,000 men. Lord, what are you going to do for me? You know what the Lord says to him? Verse 4, the Lord said to Gideon, The people are yet too many. And when the Lord made this statement, I suppose a big question mark appeared on Gideon's face. Did I hear correctly? Lord, did you say too many? Lord says, yes, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. It shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So you bring them down to the water. I thank God for the water. Usually we interpret the water to be the word of God. We are tried by the word of God. And there is nothing in the whole wide world as important as the word of God. I love it. I respect it. And I pray that day by day we will have a deeper comprehension of divine truth as we read the sacred scriptures. Bring them down to the water. I will try them for the dear. But if you'll permit me, I would like to suggest that in this particular instance, we would interpret the water to mean the comforts that this world provides. That's a different interpretation to the normal. But for this particular passage, I'd like us to think of the water as the comforts that this world provides. Bring them down to the water. There's a beautiful stream flowing by there, and I'd like them to be refreshed there. So Gideon brought the 10,000 men down to the water. And the Lord says that they were brought down to the water. The Lord said to Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Now notice, 10,000 thirsty soldiers. They leave Herod, a little well of trembling, and they come down to the lovely stream, plenty of water. Thirsty people, 10,000 men, and here they are. Everybody wants a drink. All of us need a drink sometimes, don't we? I see they provide water. I hear it's for the dry preacher. See? Well, we do appreciate it very much indeed. But we all need a little water, don't we? All right. Now, observe these men. Some of them bow down upon their knees to drink. Look at the posture. Bowing down upon the knees. That's the attitude of worship. The attitude of worship. And I would say to the Lord's people, never bow down. Never worship at the shrine, the altar of materialism. You know what these 9,700 men who got down on their knees to drink water, you know what they were saying? They were saying, in effect, I'm real thirsty. Let me have as much of this water as I can possibly contain. Let me swallow the whole stream if it's possible. I'll put it all right under my belt. And here they were, greedy, wanting more than they really needed. And that's a problem with people all over the world, don't you think so? As it is in Jamaica, so it is in Florida, so it is all over the world. We want a lot more than we need. In sharp contrast to the 300 who picked up a little in the hand. You know what that indicates to us? As they put hand to mouth. We have that. I have these words underlined in verse 6, putting their hand to their mouth. It's a philosophy that is taboo today. People don't go for this philosophy. Hand-to-mouth philosophy. Oh, no. But these are the men that God can use. The guys who want the whole stream. The fellows who want to swallow everything and get as much as they can get. While the getting is good. God says, well, I can't use that. 9,700 disqualified from military service. Why? Greed. May God save us from that. We were on a construction program
one of our church buildings in rural Jamaica some time ago. And usually when the brethren come to work, brethren and sisters come, we're working in the chapel, usually lunch is provided. Well, just around lunchtime, the ladies hadn't gotten around to cooking, getting the dinner near ready. So one of the workmen, he comes to me, he says, "Brother Hart."
"Yes."
He says,
"Empty bag can't stand up."
That I know that. I know that. But another workman said something I'll never forget. You know what he said? He said, "Full bag can't bend."